Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back. I hope everybody, survived their weekend. I did. And as a matter of fact, I actually had fun co-hosting, I was guest hosting for Douglas Gibbs and KMET, as I told you last week. That was a two-hour gig, and actually, it went by quick. I just can't believe how fast time flies, especially when you're trying to get a lot of content in. And I was definitely trying to fire hose, as those who listen to this show know. I definitely fire hose a lot of people with a lot of content because I think it's important. One of my fundamental premises is that knowledge is power. And with that, if I can educate you and get everybody on the same sheet, then we all of a sudden become very, especially if we all agree. And the other premise I have is reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. So if we all get equally informed, we all understand that the federal government is way out of check, so far out of check that it is it is pushing us to the cliff and going to push us off the cliff if we do not act. And so trying to get everybody to that level of information, to get that epiphany, to get that aha moment to say, you know, we really need to act, period. If we do not act, then all of our liberties and all of our opportunities and all of the lives that have been spent in securing these liberties is for naught, if you understand what I'm saying. Because we're literally at that point to where those sacrifices become a waste, because we actually are participating. And I say this before, this is a self-government system that we have. And if we're not participating, if we're not getting involved, and when I say this, this isn't just voting. I think that the listeners on this show and many of the patriots are trying to listen to all of these great conservative entertainers. And I mean that. They're great articulators. They're great entertainers. They have great minds. They write great books. And they have, what do you want to call it? New York Times list. I mean, they're on big lists of the books that these guys sell and gals, these people. And so the question that I have to beg and I have to ask you to consider is that if they're doing all of these great things and none of these great things that they're actually doing is really putting us in check or getting us to a point where we can actually stop the progress of evil, which is what Madison calls it, then there's that word opportunity cost. It seems like we could be doing something far better and actually reaching out and getting involved into a system and a process that is, I'll just say it, it's a guaranteed process that will restore our constitutional republic. So that's why I kind of go through marketing. That's why I kind of go through the education process, because the whole point is motivating you, giving you the information of what we need to do, and then also giving you the empirical data of what we're going through and what we've been through, and how much more crap are we going to take before you actually start to act, before you actually go, you know what? I know G.R. Mobley is asking me to send $2 to these candidates. Boy, that's a lot of money. I mean, that could get a lot of gas, or that could, you know, buy some food. But if you understand that those $2 that everybody that's listening to this show, if they contributed $2 to every candidate that is on my candidate endorsement page, and what is that? I got four legislators, a governor, and a U.S. senator. So that's six. That's $12 a week. I don't know if our liberty is worth $12. But I do know that when we get to a point where I'm asking you for, you know, a big number of candidates to support, by that time, we'll be in a ground movement. And this will be actually, I'm hoping that I'm no longer in charge, because that means that we actually have a system and a network and so forth. And it's not contingent upon one person to do this. This isn't my job. This is our job. And I'm only leading because, one, I'm not afraid to lead, and two, this needs to be done. And so leaders stand up and do the right thing. Managers do things right. I'm not doing this right. I'm doing the right thing. Because if I did this right, I'd probably go to the party. I'd probably do what I'm told. I would follow the processes. That's what managers do. And that has been our problem. That has been, I believe, the roadway to our demise. Well, before I forget, because I can't forget, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as 1798.part2.org. That point would be good too. But anyway, we also have a domain called RepublicReview.org, and that has been reserved for when we actually get some states talking so that you will have a place to go to understand what they're doing and how they're doing. The 1798 Part 2 is literally supporting the ground movement and getting states to push them into the audit. And when I say push, that may mean you. That may mean the electorate and the people on the ground push, 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 and demand that people start taking their oaths of office seriously, that they actually support the Constitution, they defend it and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic, which is our, as we know, our oath of citizenship. And as you've heard me say before, that oath, even though we don't have to raise our arms to the square, it is implied upon us at birth. That means that as a birthright, we have a duty and obligation in protecting and defending our Constitution. Those people who do not want to do that, those people who choose to do things to literally undermine our Constitution and this republic, they do not deserve citizenship. We need to start having standards to citizenship. I mean, you've got to agree with that, right? There has to be some level of standards that we need to start applying. And there are ways of doing that. And as a matter of fact, we have the ability today to hold people into, if you want to call them caveats or barriers or levels or what have you. You've heard me say this before. If you don't own land, then why is it that you can vote on putting a tax or a levy on land for something that you're going to benefit from, such as, you know, college or education or what have you? I understand that there is a duty, but there is also a point of tipping when the property owners say, you know, we can't cover this cost anymore. What are you doing with all the rest of the money we're giving you? Oh, you're throwing it away for all these progressive policies and plans that, you know, are actually destroying it. Look at Seattle. Look at Baltimore. Look at Detroit. Look at San Francisco. Look at Atlanta. Look at all of these cities that have implemented all sorts of programs and policies that are progressive, that are taking from the rich, basically redistributing wealth. But the problem is they're really not redistributing the wealth. They're just throwing this money at bad programs, so it is lost. Wealth is being lost. It's not like there's these real great entrepreneurial people that are in these homeless towns and cities that are, you know, putting away money. They're going to put together a mansion, or they're going to, you know, out of this homeless shack is going to become a Microsoft tycoon, or the next competitor for that, or what have you. You understand my point. My point is that the money that we're throwing at this is ineffective because of how it is being handled. The process itself is designed to break us. That's why compassionate services need to go back to those who do it best, that who should be doing it, and who in our self-government were designed to do it. If you go read, and I've read it on the show, go look at my podcast on the cod fishery bounties, and you will understand who should be doing it. You are listening, as those who have been tuning in lately, you are listening to the only show on air. And I can say in every airwave and frequency you want to talk, whether it's television, satellite, it doesn't matter. There is no other show that is asserting this constitutional solution. And so I'll get into this. News at, 6:20. Because it's actually just a few minutes away. I'm going to get into this process. And if you're not there yet, then I want to help you get there. And I think that there is an easy process of doing that. So I will get into that real quick. But I also want you to know that this show also is designed to support the state legislators and those grassroots leadership. When I say grassroots, I really mean the party leadership, GOP, Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, and trying to force them to kind of create a merger without an acquisition. I truly believe that if the competition between these three parties is who is the most centered on the Constitution, that party will start pulling away those, you know, people that have gone to the Constitution Party and Libertarian Party. So in other words, if the Republican Party becomes the purest of constitutionalism and they put away all of these agendas of all these tents that have tried to take stake and claim to the Republican Party, if they could just get rid of that crap and go, we're focused and centered on the Constitution. If that happens, you will probably find that the relevance of these other two parties will go away, because the whole intent behind the Libertarian Party in 1971, when they broke away, was because the Republican Party was big government. They had no constraints. They weren't abiding by the Constitution. And so they lost a lot of people. And look how many people that is. Same thing with the Constitution Party. As you can tell, I'm up at a hard break. So please stay tuned. And when we come back, I'm going to give you some information that should help you get to that epiphany, that aha moment. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so, as I was saying, I want to help you get to that aha moment, to that epiphany. And so I've mentioned this for a long time, that I've provided a presentation. I do these presentations. You're more than welcome to reach out if you want me to come out and give the same presentation. Save yourself some money. Just, you know, literally put everybody in a room and play this, the very first 30 minutes of my presentation on Republic Review, the solution to saving our Constitution. It is a 30-minute presentation, and in that presentation, it will set the stage for the academic argument for Republic Review, but it just sets the stage. Then what you have to do, and you can actually get this video, you can find the link if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and just go to our Take Action page. It's a link on the far right, just the Take Action button, click on that, and it will take you to that page. And if you scroll down underneath the two PDF files that are what I use for that presentation, so you can print them out and you can learn the dialogue and you can start doing this. But the point is that the link underneath there takes you to the YouTube channel that actually has that. Just watch the first 30 minutes. From that point, once you've watched that first 30 minutes, then all you've got to do, now you kind of understand the argument for this, then all you've got to do is go to the home page of reclaimingtherepublic.org instead of the Take Action page. Just go back to the home page. And right there, I have the bullets that break down the academic argument so you can actually see them in an outline. And so go through those. And if you don't understand the documents I'm pointing to, because I don't get into the details, but they're there. If you want, you can always just ping me with an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. But what you do is you kind of look through those. You kind of basically familiarize yourself with what I'm talking about in those citing documents. And then you can actually read the process for, or it's another bullet description, but it's the bullets for the description of Republic Review, the flow, what each step means, and so forth. Read that, and then kind of get your head around this flow of the auditing process, where one state starts it, other states start to join in, and how they do this. I don't go into a lot of details, and I know everybody still has some questions, but these two bullet lists literally answer most all the questions of how this works and the authenticity, the veracity of the argument. Does it really work? Will it work? Absolutely. Can we do this? Absolutely. As you start looking at all of that, you go, well, this all makes sense. Then I want you to do what I want you to do is go back, because I've read this before, and you can listen to my podcast. Go to the Red State Talk Radio podcast. And you can listen to me read these, or you can go and read them for yourself. But if you go read the Thomas Jefferson Resolution of 1798, out of that document, we will start jumping out at you what he was doing. He was literally auditing the Constitution and calling for the federal or his fellow states, the sibling states, to join Kentucky, and Virginia did the same thing. Both states requested the other states to join them in the audit so that they could live. And some people back in those days, they would have called it a convention. But I call it an audit because technically that is what they're doing. They're identifying that the federal government doesn't have the authority to do all of these things, and that they basically put out the challenge saying, where do you get this? And knowing that they can't prove it, then you basically shut them down. You rebuke them and say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to shut these roles, responsibilities, and powers down. And so actually, I'm still reading through the Virginia ratification debate, so we'll get to those a little bit later. But that's how you get to this epiphany. Now, if you read, you watch the video, you read these bullets, and then you read Thomas Jefferson's resolution, and you don't get there, tell me why. Tell me what is it that is keeping you from getting there? Because the only thing that Thomas Jefferson didn't do is, hey, a couple hundred years from now, there's a guy by the name of G.R. Mobley, and he's going to be one that's going to recognize what it is we're doing and why you have to do this. So please make sure you do that. I mean, he didn't create a note like that. They did not even create an owner's manual for this hybrid constitutional republic of how things were to be broken down. And that's why I begin to start arguing the fact that maybe the Bill of Rights was the biggest mistake they made. Even though I loved what they were trying to do, and I loved the intent and the nobleness of these men. But what ended up happening was it made us all complacent. It made us completely reliant that the federal government, you know, we got this barrier. It's called the Bill of Rights, and it's going to keep them in check. No, it only keeps them in check over very few things. Since then, they've been assuming all sorts of powers that had nothing to do with the Bill of Rights, creating the Department of Education, the Department of Labor, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Interior. Some of these departments are actually killing people. And government's not supposed, at least our government's not supposed to be killing their own citizens like this, for whatever reason. And unfortunately, some of those reasons are political. So anyway, I would beg you, I beseech you to please go watch that video. Go read those bullets. It only takes you a little bit of time. If you are a passionate patriot that really wants to be a part of the solution and wants to step out of that box where you are a part of the problem, then there you go. That is, I believe, the aha moment. I've yet to find anybody that, you know, can challenge me in an academic form. There's nobody. Nobody can challenge this. That's why most people just kind of don't even want to come near me. Because bottom line, they can't refute this. And so I want to say this. This really isn't me. I come right out and tell you, this is what Madison and Jefferson were doing. The only problem was I was the one that saw that. I'm the one that was able to extrapolate that. And I can prove that by, if you follow these things, then you can actually say, this guy has Madison and Jefferson down to the T on what we need to do. Because if those two men were alive today, they would completely resurrect exactly their mind model, and they would be able to articulate that, and then people would actually, you know, follow them because they're such great men. There's no doubt. They are great men. And who am I? Who's this gnat that's buzzing around in the airwaves telling people, hey, follow this, do this? I get it. It takes a little time to get credibility. It takes a little time. And so I understand that, but we don't have a lot of time, my friends. And so what it really takes is faith, because back in those days, Madison was just a name. It took a long time for Madison to become the president and the man of stature that he became. If you're familiar with who Madison was, if you know anything about this man, he was a sickly man. I think he had epileptic seizures. I think he had maybe diverticulitis or IBS or what have you, because there were many times when he traveled on the road that he had to stop because he had such bad bowel problems that he, you know, literally had to stop. And he almost died a few times from dehydration and so forth. And so anyway, I remember reading his biography, and in there he was talking about this concept of he wished that he could become somebody, you know, that he could actually offer something of some service to society, to the nation, to, you know, his fellow countrymen and so forth. Here was a man that, you know, just wanted to, you know, amount to something. I mean, boy, he sure did, didn't he? And we call him today the father of our Constitution, because without him, they wouldn't have gotten into that Constitutional Convention. And without him, we would have had somebody that would have literally been more focused on trying to preserve their ideas and what they thought instead of what everybody agreed upon. And so his integrity is just admirable. I've never seen and or witnessed anybody with that same level of integrity. Let me tell you, I've got this crowdfunding site out there on GoFundMe.com. The intent of that is not for me to live a highfalutin lifestyle. The intent of that is to really provide a portal for people to contribute and get involved, and that money will be going towards, and I know I need to do that. The things I have to do is just getting longer. But what I need to do is actually go in and articulate, you know, precisely how that money is going to be used. But I want you to know, if you want that money to go to a candidate that's on that list, let's say you have a particular candidate like Matt Hawkins that is somebody that you really want to, you know, but you've maxed out on that. Because I can only double you once and that's it. I can't double everybody, right? Because I am an entity too, and I can only do that once. But the intent behind this GoFundMe is to actually also be able to feed money in helping stand up a PAC so that that money can then be set up to supporting running ads and those types of things to parallel the efforts of these campaigns. If you understand what PACs can do, that's what we want to do. We want to take advantage of what everybody else, what the liberals and the progressives and George Soros has been taking advantage of, but we need to do this via our own money, time, contributions, and so forth. And so there's a way. I keep on telling everybody there is a way of doing this, but I just want you to know that you're more than welcome to help contribute. That money is going to literally go in fighting the war. Now is the time to grovel, but before we grovel, we've got to go to a hard break, because that's what that music means. And so I will do a little bit of groveling when we get back, and then I'll have film for you, because I was supposed to do that 10 minutes ago. So forgive me. We will get... Actually, I just did it. So I've got some other stuff for you. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. So I will grovel quickly. If you've got time, you've got a computer, you've got a phone, you can help. Believe me, you can help. And so what I would ask is just send me an email, info@reclaimingtheroot. If you want to lead in this effort in your state, if you want to become a champion for the Constitution, there is no greater cause. And I will tell you that anybody that wants to get involved in this, I truly believe you will be blessed. I believe if you're looking for blessings, here you go. Because there's probably nothing that you can do other than in a spiritual manner to actually get what I would believe, you know, tangible blessings from the Lord, because I truly believe that he wants people to be free and he wants people to be able to choose. I think it would sadden him to see the land that he created and the land that he established through these great framers who he inspired. I truly believe he would be remorsed and just completely disappointed in how we failed in doing anything to protect our future generations and our posterity in this land of liberty. So I'm done groveling. There is that opportunity. And as I do, I check every day, and there is no sign of the federal government peeling back any of the forms of liberty, or I should say any of its tyrannical powers, so that we can start restoring our liberty. So all these roles, responsibilities, and powers that they've usurped that have been basically crushing us, That's still going on strong. If you're looking for a report, it is still going on strong. I have a standing question though. If you'd like to get a set of my books that are off, you know, autographed, call in and you can, well, let's discuss why is it important that we all need to be reading our founding documents. If you can help me out with that, then that would be great. I think I mentioned Matt Hawkins before, and I just want you to know that I'm hoping, because I've got an appeal out, and I've actually endorsed him because he has signed the pledge, so he's added to that. But you know, he knows when we err, and I think any politician that wants to call and talk about the Constitution, this is the show. You can always call in, and I'll be happy to take that call. Let me get into some of the interesting things, the constitutional views of the interesting things in the news, such as Cuba. Hey, Cuba has a new constitution, and the lawmakers are actually on board with beginning to recognize property rights. Now, granted, there are some limitations to these property rights, but they're moving in a direction away from hardcore communism and becoming more soft socialism. Now, in contrast to that, if you understand what's going on in America and the Democratic Party, isn't it interesting how the Democratic Party seems to, you know, they're all talking about these, you know, communist champions like that gal on the East Coast that won, that they say that's the new face of the Democratic Party. Well, it's interesting because they have a lot of moderates that are trying to create a safe space to say, hey, you know, we need to start moving to the center. I'm telling you, this is a facade. What they're trying to do is change their appearance towards the center. I have not heard anybody yet say, have you looked at our platform? That's the Communist Manifesto on steroids. We've got to shut that down. That is not the conversation over there on the Democratic Party. You've got to be clear on what they're doing. This is all about changing the storefront, but not changing the products. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they want to make it alluring for people to come in to vote for them. But then once you do, it's too late. You're hooked, you're addicted, or you can't escape. It's like Hotel California. Anyway, let me just move on. I also find it interesting that the fact that these former highly cleared people still maintain clearances. I mean, I've had clearances before, and as soon as I stepped out of my job, I was signed out. There was no more access, and as a matter of fact, I was told I could not talk about this, or anything of those classified natures. And the fact that these people are still, even though they're not working, and they're still injecting their nose into this, like they're, you know, like they're an elected official, like they're a senator or something, it clearly points that Brennan and all of these hacks are political hacks. And that just only goes to support exactly what I, G.R. Mobley, has been asserting, that the deep state is nothing but an ideological political base, that it has been pushing America and manipulating us into believing, oh, this is good, we're going in this direction. You know, well, hey, you know, we're kind of way up here on this ledge. We're getting closer to the cliff. They just silence those people because what their end goal is to get rid of our constitutional republic and push us into a global communist nation. And it'll be a process of doing that, but we have a better chance right now of engaging and stopping this, the direction that we're going. And so I can tell you that this election is a very important election year. It is not about necessarily all of the candidates and having everybody in the right place. The first thing that we have to do is we have to improve voter turnout. If you haven't noticed, the trends that we've been seeing in voter turnout is getting worse and worse and worse. And I can tell you here in the state of Washington with voter ballot, mail-in ballots, and the other states that do mail-in ballots, the lower the voter turnout is, the greater they have the ability to manipulate the outcome of that election. And I know this for a fact because I've actually had Aileen Lindstrom on my show here, and she's broadcasted because she's out of my home, you know, my area, my base. And so she talks about the evils and the dangers. Bottom line, when everybody votes, it overwhelms the system and they have a harder time managing this. Again, I go back to the self-government principle. A self-government system depends upon us and our participation in that system. If we do not participate, then we are literally surrendering our self-government to the few that want to manipulate and manage us for their own agenda. They're not leading. They're not restoring anything. They are taking us down the road to where they will control every facet of our life. They're already controlling how much water our toilets can flush, our light bulbs, our plumbing, all sorts of things. And they're not done. They want to be able to control everything. That all decisions come from the centralized government. And that is the centrifugal or centripetal energy or the political energy in a scientific type of analogy or metaphor. Metaphor, that's the better word. If you understand centripetal, it is inward drawing. It draws everything to the center. Centrifugal is the political energy that the framers installed that was allowing everything to flow outward. And so what we have to do is we have to stop this destructive centripetal political energy and move it back to a centrifugal and outward flowing. Let me get into the voter manipulation in 2012, because I've done the research myself. Go count how many votes were for the President of the United States and how many votes were for Congress. Now, you got to remember that a congressman is on every ballot. Every voter gets a congressman to vote for, and they also have the president in the general election for the presidential election year. And in 2012, there were 5 million overvotes for the president of the United States. That's pretty interesting. Well, sometimes congressmen just don't get votes. Nah, that's not true. People are ideologues and they vote the slate. They typically vote their party right down, even if they don't know who it is. What you'll find are the undervotes on undervotes as judges and some of the initiatives. But when it comes to the party and governance at the federal level, it's almost boom, 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 boom. It is done. All Democrat, all Republican, even libertarians and constitutionalists actually vote all, down the party slate. So what happened? And there are some people that go both ways, but the point is that you will not find an underage or an over. You shouldn't find an overage at all in those particular comparisons with Congress and the president. And so where do those 5 million votes come from? Well, you go look at the data and you will find that over 50% of those votes were cast in the very few battleground states. So why was it that over 2.5 million were thrown extra for the president of the United States in just a few of these battleground states like Ohio and Florida? Why? Because they know if the trend is that only so many people are going to vote, then they only need to throw in a few extra voter fraud things into the election cycle to actually turn the election the way they want to. If everybody voted, if we overwhelmed the system, then their little facade of injecting extra votes won't work. And they can only, if you haven't seen Project Veritas and how they have exposed voter fraud, this is huge, my friends. This is huge of how they have been undermining and how they've been stealing our elections. And I'll tell you, these mail-in ballots is a huge way of stealing elections. They don't have to bus people anymore. They just change your ballot and how you vote. And so I was talking to Aileen over the weekend about, doing another segment. We did it today for this coming Wednesday. But I was talking to her about how important it is for transparency in challenging the vote process. And so I can see that I'm coming up on a hard break. So I want to get into that. And I believe this should be an initiative that drives in every state to force transparency in challenging the vote. And I will give you that idea, that what I believe is a real solution here, and it will get us completely away from these inefficient and expensive processes. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and you'll hear even another solution baked from me. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let me get into this initiative because I think most states actually allow voter initiatives to be driven. Some don't because they consider it a direct democracy process. Nevertheless, let me get into that. But before I do, I was actually kind of taking a quick look during the break as to, you know, where this show is stacking up. And so far, for the most part, we're in the top 20. We're just at the very high numbers of that. But if you look at the, you know, hundreds of talk shows that are out there, we're actually doing really well. We're growing by leaps and bounds. And I think that's because a lot of you are actually recognizing that this is just isn't your problem du jour conversation. What I am talking about is how and what we need to do if we're going to save our liberty and save our Constitution and Republic. And so I can't express, I'm not a very good person that, or I should say, I'm not a very good person to express my thanks, appreciation, I'm magnanimous, whatever that word is, thanks you. I need to do it more often because I know there are a lot of people that are saying, hey, you really need to listen to the content on the show because it's not chasing anybody's pet passions. It's not chasing all of the, you know, the little distractions. I don't care about the train wreck. The train wreck is what's destroying us. And the only way we're going to survive is to turn away from the train wreck. We got to stop being engulfed in the train wreck because there are plenty of channels out there that will consume your life over these train wrecks and these, look at all these things that are happening. Don't waste your time. If you understand that when you're at work and you're listening to somebody talking about the game, talking about religion or what have you, and you get sucked in, you have just stolen, especially if you're on the clock, you're stealing time from your employer because your employer is paying you by the hour or salary or whatever, and he's not paying you to talk about the game. He's paying you to do a very specific job. Okay, well, that translates into labor, employment, and compensation, But this show and this content and what I am talking about needs to translate into our what little time, the finite time we have left, the opportunity that is presenting us that we can actually do this before it's too late. And the importance of doing this now, because very soon there's going to be a point in time where the federal government, because they've done it four times before, they put aside the Constitution and they start trampling on it. And when they do that, the states have to recognize that they are at that point and they have to stand up and say, you can't do that. This is our contract. And Article 5 gives you no power to take our contract and suspend it. There's no amendment, and there is nothing in the Constitution that authorizes you to suspend this Constitution. And so that's why it is so important that this dialogue continue and move out and educate. And it's snowballing. I don't have a lot of patience either. So I have a few shortcomings personally, because I just want to be done with this. I've been doing this since my father passed away in 2011. I wrote my first book in 2012, and 2013 is when I wrote my second book, and 2014 is when I wrote my third book, and was really out in the radio scene in 2013 and so forth. So, I mean, I've been doing this for, 5 years, and it seems like a career, and I'm just ready to, get other people to take the lead and, kind of start moving back and start getting involved in, the other solutions that need to come in behind this and how to do those things. Because I know, I understand what we need to do, and it just needs to be articulated and packaged so people can get it and understand it quickly, because that's important. So let me get back to this initiative. So this initiative that I'm talking about is that all voters should be able to challenge how their vote was counted. You should be able to go to your Secretary of State and say, I want to see not only that you counted my ballot, I want to see how you counted my ballot. Because I can tell you that there have been many cases where your ballots have changed, especially in these mail-in ballots and so forth, where they have the ability to manipulate them and change them, and you have no transparency to verify that if you voted for Trump, that it was because we have this thing about secret ballots. Well, heck, how can you challenge it if it's going to be a secret and you'll never know how your ballot was counted? Yeah, you get credit for voting, but that means nothing if they didn't count it the way you voted. And so I believe there needs to be an initiative on the ballot that any and every voter can challenge how their vote. So that way you look at the big spreadsheet, you can look across the board of how you voted. Therefore, you can actually confirm in the total tally that your vote was counted properly on every single box item. If we're not doing that, and if we can't do that, then there are opportunities for fraud. And I would like to actually challenge and or audit my vote. And I think everybody that is concerned with the direction of this country and your local government and so forth, I think you want the same thing. And so I think there's merit, and I hope that you start considering this, because the progressives have gotten themselves deep into our process. And as I think Stalin was the one that, or maybe it was Marx, no, it wasn't Marx, I think it was Stalin, was the one that says, I really don't care. I want the people to vote. I just want to be able to control the people who are counting the votes. And that means that he can control the outcome of those elections. So with that, let me kind of just move forward, because I don't want to run this, and I'm running out of the show, and I'm not going to get into Madison. So we will do Madison's Virginia resolution tomorrow. But I also wanted to talk about a conversation I had with Alan Myers, who is not an economist. He's a CPA and a financial whiz and so forth. And so we got into, the tariffs and the discussion of how, Trump is targeting tariffs on certain markets and so forth. And I truly believe that what we need to do is we need to automate across the board our impost on given countries, so that if they manipulate one thing, everything shifts in our impost with them, so that we're going to capture everything that they do. and we're going to basically nullify their attempts and their ability to successfully get us to fund their failing governments, their socialism and communism and so forth, as we buy their crap or their products. I mean, I'm sorry. And so if you look at the across the board products that are coming in, let's say China, Germany, or what have you, and Germany is adding, in this particular case, a value-added tax because they can't afford to do these socialism programs. And look at the reason why Greece and some of these Mediterranean, because they don't sell products, they don't have value-added taxes, so they have a hard time in trying to support their socialism, and that's why they're in this financial upheaval. Well, Germany's a little different. They make a lot of products, and a lot of people like their products and buy them, but they add a value-added tax onto their product. Sometimes some countries like Japan and even China subsidize. So what they do is they basically falsely lower the value or the price of the product so that we buy their product instead. And in doing so, they make it up on volume and they make it up on other things. And we got to stop doing that as well. So across the board, they can automate the impost. And because they, believe me, they got computer programs and all sorts of great ways to dynamically do this on the second. As soon as China does something, dumps currency or tries to dump a product or what have you, we're on top of that and we're actually managing the impost across the board. So whatever things that they're coming in, it is dynamically matched to what they are doing as far as how they're managing their exports coming into us. That way, we no longer have to worry about tariffs. It is just literally a standard in impost. And if you go read the Constitution, the federal government is supposed to have impost because that's how they make their money. And so because we're not a socialistic government, or one would think we're not, then we shouldn't have to pay for health care. We shouldn't have to pay for, you know, corporate welfare and all these other things. But because we are a socialistic country and we are spending ourselves into oblivion, we are having to do that. But if we stop doing that, then our impost will actually sting and have even a bigger effect and more powerful. So let me also, I have 1 minute left. Let me kind of beg and get this paradigm out to you. There is a reason why we need to start demanding that our politicians sign pledges. We can no longer accept this political, well, I don't want to be tied down. I'm only tying you down to your oath that you already have to take. If you don't sign this, we need to start having standards, and the oath doesn't cut it anymore because they use doublespeak. We want a actual tangible solution to them, not just tangible, but tangible, actionable items that they have to do and perform as they take office. And these are the things. Go read those pledges, and they're on the petition scripts page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. If you do that, I guarantee you that you will start going, wow. I mean, they're still free to be able to do their shenanigans that they want to do that you've been letting them get away with. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to let them allow the federal government to oppress us and the citizens anymore. We need to enforce or highly motivate our politicians in engaging in Republic Review and auditing. And that has the only way to do that is getting them to sign these pledges. I am out of here. I'm out of time, but I will be back tomorrow with Madison and the Virginia resolutions. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.